Hi, this is Siobhan Murphy, Careers Advisor here in DCU Career Service. Welcome to this episode of the Careers Podcast. Our topic today is career transition and also including those who have maybe have a longer career history and some of the things that you might consider when developing your CV. So joining me today is Sheila Barr, Careers Advisor here in DCU, who particularly looks after the Springboard funded program here in DCU. And many of her clients on that program would be returners working in the area of career transition or just upskilling in their particular industry as well. So we might just start off, Sheila, around those who are contemplating a career transition. How do you kind of demonstrate on your CV, you know, if this may be chunk of maybe 10 to 20 years on your CV on very clear direction, you're back in college now in DCU and you're doing a master's or a different type of program to, you know, bring you in a totally different area. So, you know, I would imagine it can be so easy to freeze then about developing your CV.
Yeah, I think this is where the whole idea of transferable skills comes into its own. Even if you were working in retail and you have 15 years experience working in retail, and then you come back and you do, say, a certificate in user experience in DCU through the Springboard program, you will certainly find that you are able to present your skills in a way that that relates them to what you would need for your new role in user experience. So taking that example, you know, working in retail, you would have developed a huge customer focus. And that insight and those years of experience in customer behavior, dealing with customers, putting yourself in the customer's shoes, etc., would certainly stand to you in terms of your new career as a user experience specialist. So I think the important thing to remember is that your skills and strengths and competency that you gained in the early part of your career in the other sector will always be of use to you. So the key then is how you present them on your CV. So there is, you know, there's a type of method of writing your CV. It can be called skills-based or achievements-based or a functional CV. And that is where, rather than focusing on your chronological career and employment history, you're emphasizing more the skills that you developed during your career history. And then when your new potential employer or new hiring manager is reading your CV, they're immediately drawn to those skills as opposed to the context in which you practiced those skills, if that makes sense.
So if you're saying that we're probably all very familiar with the chronological CV and we kind of start off with our personal details, you know, maybe a bit of a profile, a bit of a work history and our education and, you know, interest in hobbies, few achievements or whatever, that's kind of the basic. How would an achievement or a skill-based CV, what would be the look and feel of it?
So it would be very similar from the point of view of your personal details at the top. And then it also might be very useful then to write your professional profile. I'm a big fan of professional profiles.
Yeah, me too.
If they're
love
written
them.
Well.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, when you're making a career transition, there probably is some logical narrative in your story which you can capture in the in your professional profile. You know, there's probably some commonality between the sector that you have your experience in and the sector that you're about to enter. And you can kind of, you know, frame that in a very short, concise summary. So that can be very useful there. So then underneath that, what you can do is you can talk about your relevant skills and experience, say, could be your heading. And then what you would do is you would look at the skills as required by the job description that you're applying for. And then you would list those skills. You'd have a heading for each skill. And then underneath you would talk about how you have demonstrated that skill in your work history to date.
So it could be something like looking at the job description that you're applying for, or if you're trying to create a master, one of these. Now, this takes quite a bit of work.
It does.
Both of us are career transitioners, Sheila, and I think both of us have done this type of CV, and you know, it takes a few goes at it. That's the one thing we want to get out there to everybody. The first time you do this is just going to look like a mess.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
But you need to get the mess out first.
Yeah,
okay. So a useful thing is that if you look at a job description and identify maybe 4 to 5 key competencies that that new role is demanding, and they're usually very similar experiences than what you already have in your previous job. It might be around people and processes, it might be about commercial acumen, it might be around leadership ability, and then there is obviously the small gap of maybe the particular technical skills now that you now actually have, which you are plugging in via your education, so that is smoothed over. So one of the things that I have seen done, and that's why I'm saying it, you know, it takes a little bit of work, is that just say under something like commercial acumen, you may have had a number of jobs that you were a project lead, that you were a sales manager in, that you won tenders, that you delivered on contract pricing, or whatever the case may be. And you can put in your kind of nearly your achievements there in under that category. But it could be like project lead, one awarded tender worth 3 million. And put the organization there where you, you know, the role, the organization who you were working for at that time. So under commercial acumen, you could have actually have 4 good solid bullet points demonstrating your commercial acumen, but it could be from 2 to 3 employers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it.
Have you seen that work well?
Yes, I have. I have seen that work very well, where the hiring manager then, because as you know, the most important part of your CV is page one, and the most important part of page one is the top half of page one, because you want to attract the positive attention of the hiring manager early in your CV, and you want to create a very positive first impression. So by putting the ways in which you have demonstrated, in which you're providing evidence, about evidence. You're providing evidence that you have this skill. And ultimately, that's what the hiring manager wants to see, or the recruiter, or whoever's looking at your CV. So exactly as you describe, where you list the required competencies, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 of the key competencies, and then underneath each one, you bullet point how you have achieved, or evidence of your achievements under each of those competencies. And then you can put the organization in brackets. It doesn't matter that it's not all in the one employment position.
Absolutely.
It's what matters is that you are providing evidence that you have that skill. And just to pick up on something you said as well, and you know, students' faces fall every time I make this point to them, but you're absolutely right about matching your CV to the job description. It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. It's a good idea, as you said, to have a master CV, which could be 3 or 4 pages, where you have put down everything that you have done.
The kitchen sink can go there.
The kitchen sink can go in there, exactly. But then for each individual application, you'll be extracting what you want to emphasize and what's relevant. And for each application, you will have to do a piece of work on that. You cannot send out the same CV to every job application. It won't work. So it's a bit of effort, but it will pay dividends, certainly.
And certainly always have to remember whether you do an achievement-based CV or the traditional chronological CV or reverse chronological CV, rather. It's speed reading is how that document is going to be treated.
Yeah.
So, you know, like having very complicated sentences, unclear thoughts there, well, you're just going to muddle the reader.
Yeah.
So basically is, can you literally zoom up and down that CV, or get somebody else to zoom up and down that CV, and what are they reading from that CV? Like a, you know, as somebody sitting down and studying that CV will absolutely get to a grips about your talents and ability. But in a zoom up and down with less than 10 seconds, what's that person getting?
Yeah,
and that's a really, really good barometer maybe to how somebody else is going to read it.
Absolutely. I think it's. I think bullet points are fantastic. I'm a big bullet point fan. I think that they make it very easy to quickly pick out the important points. So I think I think absolutely, as you say, you need to present the most relevant information very clearly and make it very easy to read and make it stand out on the page.
And remember, all employers, no matter what stage of life you are looking for demonstration of excellent communication skills.
Yeah.
And your ability to write and communicate with clarity is highly valued by every employer, no matter what walk of life you're in.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
If you can't understand it, they can't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just very important. The other thing that I'm trying to think of is other things that career transitioners, you know, might be considering, you know, as maybe little blocks in their mind when they're creating a CV, which brings to mind that anyone that has taken some a career break for family reasons or anything like that, how do you treat that, you know, that you may have been taking time out to look after a family relative or to rare children? Or, you know, your partner was seconded abroad and you went with them.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a visa.
Yeah.
You had not the right to work in that country. And there can be gaps on people's CVs.
Yeah.
So how do you write that on a CV?
Yeah, well, I would be somebody who would have had two of those in that I would have taken a career break to raise a family. And also my partner was...
Oh, right. OK, he's on the right note
here. To the US. So I put them on the CV. I think that it is... there people should be in no way anxious about writing those things in the CV and thinking, you know, that they will have less of a chance to secure the role that they want because they took a career break. And I think a lot of people do worry about what a career break will look like on their CV. And I would really encourage people not to worry.
I think only those... you know, those that haven't had a career break, we're just envious.
Yeah.
You know, so, nobody's
exactly.
judging you for it, but you do need to explain the gap.
I think so. That's it. But I think once the gap is there, because sometimes people take a career break to go traveling, you know, and
plenty of them.
And plenty of those. And, you know, it broadens the mind. It gives you experience. So what I have on my CV, you know, for the career break that I took is I have the dates in. And then I have, you know, so whatever it was, you know, 2000, you know, September 2000 to, you know, September 2002 or 2003 or whatever. I can't remember now. Career break to raise a family. But underneath in bullet points, I point out that I was on the school sports committee in my son's school. I point out that I attended Italian classes and became fluent in Italian. Maybe not quite fluent, but
fluent enough
for the holiday, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's probably the approach that people should take. Absolutely, you know, have no qualms about your putting your career breakdown and calling it out on your CV. But if you had the opportunity to do voluntary work or take a course or upskill, or you know, you were on some committee, for example, on the school board, etc. I would 100% put that down as well.
Don't forget that,
absolutely. That's very, very useful information. And, you know, when an employer or a hiring manager is looking for evidence of a particular skill or a particular piece of experience, they will also look at your voluntary extracurricular work. They won't just look at your employment experience, you know. So a lot of the time people might, for example, if you were looking to apply for a role where making presentations was a key part of it, and you hadn't made presentations as part of your employment in the past, but you had done so as part of your work, say, again, on a school board or the voluntary work that you did. A lot of the time people are kind of coder dojo mentors or something, that they might have presentation skills from that. And that work is just as valid and just as valuable as the paid work that you might have elsewhere in your CV.
And for career transitioners, or those that I suppose are mid-career and they're looking for a particular type of promotion and things like that, is there anything else on the CV that, I mean, there are big hitting items that we've already discussed. Is there anything else that comes to mind for you, Sheila, that you want to include on that?
I think probably the most important element of writing your CV and what should influence how you write it the most is the role that you're going for. So if somebody is looking to progress in their organization, or if they're looking to apply for a more senior role in another organization, I think that the most important thing, again, is to demonstrate on your CV evidence that you have the skills and the competencies required by that role. Mm-hmm. So emphasizing certain elements of your history, and putting less emphasis on other parts of it that are less relevant to the role is key.
How might you kind of dovetail maybe, you know, your LinkedIn profile there to, you know, help you, I suppose, communicate maybe a career transition as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The one brilliant thing about LinkedIn is a fantastic tool, as you know. And one of the brilliant things is that you can kind of, you know, pre your career transition, while you're thinking about your career transition, you can be dipping your toe in the water of the new sector through your LinkedIn profile. So you can be getting involved in, say, if you wanted to move from, you know, a marketing role to a corporate social responsibility role, for example. You could be, you know, you could be reading around the area of corporate social responsibility. You could be getting involved in discussion groups in LinkedIn. And why not maybe write a post yourself? You know, anybody can write a post themselves in LinkedIn. Why not write a post yourself in LinkedIn about, you know, your take on corporate social responsibility? It doesn't have to be, you know, hugely rigorous or you know, underpinned by research. You don't have to do too much citing or whatever. It can be just around your thoughts on it and your take on it. So yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. Using LinkedIn to help position yourself for that pivot that you're going to do in your career.
And the one thing about the bio is that you can kind of, you know, you can, as you said, quite, you can start pivoting, and sometimes even getting it out there and saying it out loud through LinkedIn, and then telling people as you meet them, you know, always tell people your story if you're doing a career transition. I'm back in college, would you believe it, doing that? And everyone's just so impressed with you. What made you think of doing that? And then you tell your story, I've always had an interest, or this caught my attention. And, you know, people are just so interested and they're really proud of you, you know,
absolutely,
for taking that plunge. And you can always be very encouraging to anybody else that is also considering doing that, because if they see you doing it, they might say, well, you know, he or she can do it. I might be able to give that a bit of a lash too. You
absolutely
know, it can't be that hard, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think career transition is something that an awful lot of people...
It's gone more common now.
It's definitely gone,
but it
more
is
common.
Hard now, Sheila. So we don't want to minimise that. You know, there is a bit of a shoulder to the wheel here to get that first role.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
because I think that it, you know, what can happen is that for whatever reason, people find themselves, you know, going down a particular path career wise, and they're, you know, they're climbing a ladder, or they might feel that they're climbing a ladder, and suddenly they realise, I'm on the wrong ladder. This is not what I want, you know.
Or you don't see the future ladder that enticing anymore.
Exactly.
You might have been actually very happy in your career, but when you look outwards, you kind of go,
I don't want that.
I don't want to be a partner, or
I don't want to be a manager, or whatever it is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens an awful lot. So, and then you're right. There's work to be done then. It's uncomfortable, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's not going to be easy. There's definitely work going to be done then to make that transition, to execute that pivot. And you know, sometimes it might be, there might be stepping stones involved to it, so that, you know, so that if you decide, again, say you're in a marketing role and you have a real interest in corporate social responsibility, even while you're in your current marketing role, you could be thinking about, are there any kind of projects I could work on, any pieces of work, any, you know, committees I can be part of that are moving in towards that direction. So it doesn't have to be a dramatic shift, a dramatic 180 degree pivot. It can be much smaller pivots that can, you know, that you can take bite-sized, I suppose. Little projects that you can take on, and experiences that you can gather. And sometimes people might find, actually, I thought I really wanted to go into corporate social responsibility, but now that I've done a bit of work in it, it's less attractive than it was. So it's a really good, safe way to really kind of establish what it is that you're that you're looking to do.
And if you're back in college doing something that is going to, that you hope will pivot you into a new career, it's not like a handbag and say, I have this qualification, so therefore give me the job.
Exactly.
You always have to make your case as to why somebody should hire you.
Absolutely.
And that's regarding any job. So that's where it's about getting those transferable skills across. I think the number one thing that I suppose anyone experiencing a career transition you know, whilst they're obviously quite confident enough to go and do that program or do that course, they feel very motivated and that level of confidence. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they start hanging back mm-hmm. from driving on with moving into the actual career because there is ultimately a lack of confidence yeah. and a lack of self-belief.
Yeah.
So taking those small steps and just plowing on one step at a time, doing your CV, you know, doing your LinkedIn, being part of meetups, being part yeah. of groups, being very networked in with your college group who have a similar goal to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And just trying getting into kind of, you know, surrounding yourself with the people, you know, that will support you.
Yeah.
We've had another episode about resilience. Mm. Sheila, I think career transition, it is one of those times in life that is another time that you have to dig deep.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
push on whether you know, want to or not,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's it. I think there's a couple of things when you're, you know, when you're maybe you're moving into a new sector or you're deciding, you know, you know, you're retraining in a particular area. One of them is that, you know, allow yourself, have a bit, again, back to the self-compassion that mm-hmm. we talked about in the Resilience podcast, go easy on yourself. Mm-hmm. It will take you time to get up to speed. When you enter a new area, even though, yes, you will have your transferable skills and they will be very useful for you, go easy on yourself. Maybe have, you know, two or three priorities that you want to work on during that first year in the new role. But don't expect you to be, you know, to be up to speed within 3 months, because, you know, it'll probably take 6 to 12 mm-hmm. months before you begin to feel comfortable in the role. And the second thing is remember your strengths, you know, so yeah. that when you do go into that new area, you will have strengths that you will bring with you, and focus on those.
And you will thank your lucky stars for the background that you've had.
Sometimes
yes. we focus on that. We're going into this new role and you get imposter syndrome all over again.
Yes.
And you can think, oh, I'm going to be found out any day and they're going to ask me to leave and what am yeah. I going to do? And then you realise all of the skills that have brought you to that point and you smile to yourself and you know what it is. What was I worrying about?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I'm sure you're the same as
Very
me.
Very same.
When I think about...
Anxiety I went through.
Absolutely. But when you think back to your career, and you and I both would have had, you know, we're probably on our second or third mm. career now. When you think back at everything else you did, even the stuff that was completely different,
yeah,
it's all useful.
Yeah. It shaped you.
It did shape you. And you go back to it and the stuff you learned in all of your, yeah. you know, your jobs that help you. It might not be today or tomorrow,
yeah.
but you know, but there will be a time where you go, God, I actually know that because yeah. of my week that I spent, you know, doing whatever it was.
Wasn't it Steve Jobs that wasn't it something that he attended a calligraphy class or something?
Like, didn't hear that.
Yeah, I think he dropped out of college or he was wandering around, and I suppose in the American system, I thought you can just, go into a class or what he
yeah,
did. I don't
think
he
was probably a minor or something.
I know, I don't know what he was doing, but I don't know he was even supposed to be there. But that's where he got this whole idea of the look and feel of, you know, the iPhone, you know, and about, you know, the fonts and things like that. And yeah, well, that's how I read now, Sheila.
Well, there you,
you know,
go.
Whether that's the truth or not. But it's that type of thing. You know, no learning is wasted. No
yeah.
education is wasted unless you absolutely consciously refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, but we're always saying every day is a school day. Every minute nearly turns out to be a school day. So I suppose just trust yourself. Mm-hmm. It is the right decision for you. Just keep plowing on. Everything will kick in. You'll have a few ropey moments by all means, but you'll have a lot of joy
yeah.
because you're now going into what you now want to do next in your life. And it's to anybody to feel like we're all more than one thing. So there's nothing wrong with you.
Absolutely.
If you decide to go in a different career direction.
Not even in the slightest. And the thing is as well, because the only certainty is uncertainty.
Yes.
Like, it's about the...
Adaptability.
It's about the journey as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there will be change. Change is the only certainty. Mm. So you know, so it's around, like, this is what you're doing for now. And it's great for now. And there might be something else. I mean, there's so many twists and turns. You know, we'll all be required to adapt. We'll all be required to, you know, dip into our resilience, and you know, and always learning as well. You know, lifelong learning and continually keeping yourself informed, I think, is also key as well.
Good for the brain as well, Sheila. Good
yeah.
for the health.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Listen, we leave it there today, and thank you so much for your time.